Jesus' name. We thank you for this word that you have laid on my heart, God. I pray that you would speak tonight, that it wouldn't be the words of my mouth or my heart, Lord, but I pray that every meditation, Lord, everything I'm going to say would be seasoned with your salt and with your spirit, and that it would hit home tonight in every heart. Thank you that we can open our hearts to your word and to your truth, which changes us, Lord. We're excited tonight to be inspired in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Who is excited to be in the house of the Lord? Someone is. Am I going to get a couple of amens this evening? Okay, great. It's wonderful to have you all. Thanks for coming tonight. We are excited about this evening. Tell someone next to you that tonight is a church service with a difference. Okay, maybe some of you have never been interrupted in a sermon, so tonight I'm going to interrupt myself in my sermon, and I trust that you would be inspired by it, because you might have to get up off your seat and go somewhere else. Okay, I'll tell you now about that, so it's exciting. Just expect you to, I think we must dance to the left and dance to the right like that song. Eh? Just let's get up out of these pews for some time. But anyway, I'm excited for what the Lord has for us this evening. I just want to tell you a quick story about what happened to me this week. I was left alone on Thursday night. My wife decided to go off to Johannesburg to leave me with two children. It's awesome. It's exciting. I was a bit nervous before the time, thinking, am I going to cope, you know, through the night? Maybe, you know, I tend to sleep through the night, and my wife hears when Caitlin sort of makes a little and I just don't hear it, and I think, oh, she slept through, and meanwhile, she woke up three times, and I was, okay, great, I had a good night. But anyway, so Thursday night, I was like left with these two kids, awesome blessings that they are, and I thought, ah, it's going to be I spoke life. I said, no, Lord, this is going to be good, and they're going to sleep well, and it's going to all be fine. But I had this nervous feeling before the time. So anyway, my wife went to Joburg Thursday morning, and then Thursday afternoon, Maureen, our babysitter, she left, and here I am with the two kids, and Caitlin's now starting to get a little bit queasy, and she's complaining a bit, and normally she's such a good baby, and she sort of complains, and then I take her temperature, and it's 38.1, it's quite high, it's going up to 38.4, and I'm thinking, okay, I better put some Bernardo syrup and give her something to calm the temperature down and bring it up. So I give her the stuff, and she's just drunk her milk, and well, actually, no, she hadn't. She'd had sort of a porridge a couple of hours before that. But anyway, so she's upset, and I try to put the dummy in, and I take her outside. The next thing, she throws up, and then Matthew's like there seeing this all happen, and he goes hysterical, and he almost wants to make himself sick and throw up as well, and tries to stick something in her eye and everything. So it's going crazy between 5 and 7 on Thursday evening, and I get SMSs from friends saying, you know, are you coping? Can we help? But I only saw the SMSs afterwards, because I'm just not even at my phone. I'm just trying to handle the situation. Anyway, I put Caitlin, eventually I got her to bed, bathed her quickly. Matthew's like, he's supposed to eat supper, but I just kind of forgot about him. I just put him into her water and just like said, bath yourself quickly. I'm trying to sort out my daughter here. Put her into bed, and she was like out of it. She was so tired, and she slept. And he was quite at peace as well. So 7:30, I'm like, shoo, this is awesome. What a night lies ahead. I'm going to sleep through, because they're both probably pretty tired and everything's fine. So 9:30 that night, or 9:45, I just hear Matthew starting to cough, and I just think, oh, this sounds not so good, and he starts crying, and then I switch on the light, and he just vomits all over his bed, and so I take him out of the bed and into the bath, and there again, and now I'm starting to think, okay, great, is this now the first of a couple, or maybe it's just one? But anyway, to cut a long story short, 2 hours later, he basically threw up 4 times in 2 hours, and I was awake every 30 minutes because I could hear him crying, and put him back into bed, and so it was a challenging night for me, and then it 4 o'clock that, or 4:30 that morning, then again, there's nothing else to throw up, and he's all sick, and I'm thinking, okay, must I rush him to hospital? I phone Cameron and say, what, you know, is this serious, or must I just, you know, is this, what's happening here? I mean, I don't want this kid to die here, and my wife's not here, and I'm phoning her, and I'm saying, help me, what must I do? And anyway, she says, I can't do anything, I'm here, try this, try that. So anyway, but that morning, like, then I just wake up, and I think, I better shower and just get ready, because I need to take him to the doctor. And so 5 o'clock that morning, I just see he's all pale, and he's kind of almost passed out, and he's lying in his bed there. And I'm just thinking, yes, this kid better go to hospital now, better go on a drip or something, because this is probably serious. So I get in the shower at about 6:45 or 6 o'clock, or 6 around there. And the intercessors are praying here at church, and obviously we sent out messages to all the leaders and said, please pray for Matthew, because he's never been sick 5 times in 1 night. This is serious. The intercessors prayed, yeah, and I want to thank you guys for praying. Because then at 6:45 that morning, I'm busy showering, and Yari just walks in. And he's like ready for the day. And I'm like, boy, are you okay? And he's like, let's go. He just says, let's go. And I'm thinking, he doesn't look so pale anymore. He seems fine. I put his clothes on and I said, drink something, please drink. And he drank it and he ate the yogurt. And I'm thinking, okay, great. This boy can go to school. He's healed. He's 100% fine. And I was totally blown away by it. I just thought, yes, this is amazing. Because between 5 o'clock, he really looked out of it. And 6:45 that morning, and that's exactly when the prayer warriors pray, the intercessors pray on Friday morning. And I was just so blown away by God's faithfulness to heal him completely. Because he went to school that day, didn't throw up anything. He was 100% fine, ate all his food, slept. He was just a normal boy again. And so I was just really so thankful to God for his faithfulness. First of all, in challenging me to say, am I going to lay down my life for my child? Am I going to stress about it? Because I did. I realized, hey, I'm actually losing it a little bit here, you know. I'm not so calm as I thought I was. And I was so challenged by it, but I just realized God said to me that this is not the last time this is going to happen. Kids get sick, it happens. Don't freak out, you know. But anyway, my point this morning or this evening is that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still heals today. He still saves. He still delivers. And I'm just so thankful that Jesus came to visit me again personally and just say, oh, what a, you know, how I need him as a dad and how of little faith I am thinking, yes, man, I've got to rush to hospital and I've got to do all these things. And he was so in control. And he was always on the throne. And sometimes I thought, I'm definitely not on the throne. I'm losing it a bit, yeah. But Jesus is still on the throne and he's still faithful today. Amen. And you see, it's the same Jesus, yeah, in Matthew 16, verse 18, that said the following. He said the following to Peter. He said to Peter, on this rock, you are not no longer Simon, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And guess what? The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Can someone say amen? Jesus will build his church. Isn't that amazing? The same Jesus that heals, that is in a personal relationship with us and we with him, he is the same Jesus that is busy building his church to this day. Wouldn't you agree? If you can't see it, then I want to say, see how Jesus is building his church. Open your eyes to see how he's doing it. Because guess what? He is still building his church. And the gates of hell, no matter how much they come against us, will not prevail. But I want to say this evening, how do you believe? How do you think? And how do you feel about God or Jesus himself building his church? If he said this, I will build my church, then surely we must ask ourselves, how is he going to build his church? How has he been building his church throughout the ages? And how is he building his church to this day? So I've got three things, and this is all part of my introduction. How does Jesus build his church? First of all, let's look at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9 to 10. Paul writes, and he says, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. The first thing I want to say this evening is that Jesus built his church through who? We are God's fellow workers. He can do it through lots of other things, but guess what? He's chosen to start with Peter, then with Paul. And if we read the Bible and we see who and how he has built his church, Paul can confirm it. We are God's fellow workers. And I want to ask you this evening, are you a fellow worker of God? Are you a laborer with God? Are you a builder? Because that's what he says. Paul says it's like a field. You are like a building. God is your fellow worker, but guess what? He's also building in you, and we'll see that now. You're like his field. He's working with you. You're like his building. He's busy establishing. But at the same time, Paul understands that he's also the builder. While he's being built, while God is building into him, he's also the wise master builder. And he has understood that there's only one foundation. Just like Jesus said to Peter, I, on this rock, on this foundation, this revelation that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I am the first and the last, on this revelation, I will build my church. And Paul understood it and he said, I'm making sure that the only foundation I'm building on is Jesus. And then he says, you must let each one take heed how he builds. In other words, he's saying that there's a different, you could build well or you could not build so well. But how are you building? How are you being a wise master builder just like Paul? So that's the first thing. I'm going to throw a lot of scriptures up this evening because I'm trusting the Lord to just speak to us in terms of how we can become a volunteer, a master builder with God, with Jesus himself. Secondly, so first of all, how does Jesus build his church? We are his fellow workers. Secondly, he says here in Ephesians 2, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members
of the household of God.
And he has this word built again. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also, being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. A lot of stuff that Paul says there. But I want to focus on this, that you personally, each one of you, and me myself as well, all of us are included in this. We are God's dwelling place. God doesn't only want to build through us, but he wants to be the dwelling. He wants us to be his dwelling place. He wants to live inside of us. Isn't that amazing? And many of us just want to do stuff for God. And God, first of all, says, yes, I am. You are my partner. But guess what? I also want to become, I want you, your temple, your body, to become the temple, to become the dwelling place where I want to dwell. And guess what? All of us together are being built up like this. And that's why the church is so important. That's why it's not blessed to just be out on your own with you and Jesus. Because guess what? You need to be built together. It says you all are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. God doesn't only want to dwell in us personally, but he wants to dwell with us, yeah, corporately. Isn't that blessed? Isn't that amazing how he works? It's a bit of a mystery sometimes, especially for us as individual Westerners. We want to just have everything sorted and it's just us and we're going with it for God. But God says, no, no, no. He wants to build in you a capacity, but at the same time, he wants you to be joined together. He wants you to be his dwelling place. Thirdly, God says, yeah, coming to him, Peter writes, he says, coming to him, that's to Jesus, as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Peter writes here and he says that I can understand that we are all supposed to be living stones. The Holy Spirit told him to write this, that we are living stones. And who of you, you know, if you look at this building here, look at all these stones that this building has been built by. Do they move? Would you say they're living stones? Or would you say they're dead stones? Is this the church, the building? You know what? We don't have to be bound to this building. We've got a great building here. I think it's awesome. We've been very blessed with this building, okay? But we don't need to be bound to this building to have church. Are we living stones or are we dead stones? God wants us to be built up as living stones. And that means moving. It means we're dynamic. It means we're not stagnant. We're not just in one corner. Even Jesus, he was the chief cornerstone. But it says here, coming to him as to a living stone. He's also a living stone. And we need to be living stones in his house. Are we living stones being built up together once again? A spiritual house, a holy priesthood. So three things to sum up the introduction. How does Jesus build his church? He builds us. Builds it through us, his fellow workers. He builds us a dwelling place as his dwelling place. And then he uses us as living stones to be built up and to establish his church here on earth. His church is not made up of buildings. It's made up of people. And you know what? This building, I come here every day to the office. The office is just at the back here for those of you who don't know. And I come into this building every so often and I see, yes, you know, this building is great. It looks awesome. But you know what? It's just not as nice as it is on a Sunday. It's actually so dead here during the week. There's no one here. Sometimes, you know, it's very quiet. But you know, on a Sunday, it's just so awesome to see when people start coming to church and there's a vibe. The band is practicing. There's people here. It's so wonderful to come here and there's people. Otherwise, this building's pretty dead. Okay, the Spirit of God lives inside of us. He moves where we move. And he's all over the place, obviously. But you know, he's most excited not about a physical building. Not about dead stones that are being built up. He's excited about stones that are moving, that are living. He wants to work through all of us. So this evening I'm talking here specifically about us becoming God's building, becoming his church. And I'm going to look at two stories from the Old Testament. First of all, the story of how Moses built the tabernacle. Some of you know the story. And secondly, I'm going to look at how David built the temple. Because look at this, God wanted a dwelling place. And so he said to Moses, I want you to... I always press this button. I'm getting so excited here. God spoke to Moses and he said, listen here, Moses, I want you to build me a tabernacle. I want you to build me a tent of meeting where we can establish just some unity, where people can come and worship me in a specific place. And so what does he say here? He says, first of all, to Moses, you must command the people to do this. You're not going to do this on your own, Moses. So you need to get the people. So how does he say to him? He says the following. He says, Moses, you better tell all the congregation, saying, this is what the Lord said. Exodus 35. Moses spoke to all the congregation, saying, this is the thing that the Lord commanded, saying, take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord, gold, silver, and bronze. So three things I just want to highlight out of this passage in Exodus, and we're going to just work through this a little bit. Moses, first of all, the Lord speaks to him and says to him, listen, I'm giving you a command. So he gives him a command, and then he says to him, listen, take from among you the people who are willing to offer. Now, isn't that amazing? God actually commands him something, but then he also tells him, listen, you must make sure the people are willing. And Vaynant confirmed it in the offering message. You mustn't have a heart that is forced to do something. You must have a willing heart. So he said to Moses, Moses, make sure these people understand that it's actually a command I'm giving. But guess what? Just make sure that people come with a willing heart. I don't want them to feel forced to do this thing. Let them understand that they must choose to do this. So you see, God's command many times, same with Moses here, is for our benefit. God, when God gives us commands in life, wouldn't you agree it's actually for our benefit? And many of us sometimes think, ooh, God's commands are so burdensome. It's so difficult to follow God. It's so difficult to obey His word. And we think, ooh, He's going to like steal our joy, or He wants to just, you know, hit us over the head when we're bad, and He's commanding us to just, you know, it's not nice to follow these commands because we feel threatened by it. We feel sometimes, ooh, it's going to steal our life. But you see, I want to say this evening, God's command is for our benefit. And when we willingly respond to God, when we willingly respond, we must know it's for the best. It's for our good, for our benefit. And that's why he says to Moses, listen here, I'm giving you a command. For the people's good, they must actually willingly offer. If they don't want to willingly offer, it's fine. But guess what? They're going to suffer if they don't willingly offer. They're going to miss something. So we must start to obey God when He gives us commands. We must willingly actually start to say, Lord, thank you that you're giving me this privilege of willingly offering up for you. He says, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord. Whatever it is, gold, silver, and bronze, whatever you have to give, God's command is to bless you and for your benefit. So that's the first thing. Then the second thing I want to say, yeah, in verse 10, he says the following, all who are gifted artisans, so now Moses is being very specific, and he says, listen, all the gifted artisans, I want you to come and to make all that the Lord has commanded. In the Amplified Version, it says here, that word gifted actually means able and wise-hearted. Okay? In other words, you're actually able to do what you're supposed to do, but you're also quite wise. And I see this almost as, if you don't use your gift, if you don't bring your gift for the right things, then guess what? You're going to not be so wise. You're going to be foolish. It's like the wise servant who multiplied his talents in Matthew. Or the foolish guy who didn't multiply his talents, who just hid it under the ground. So be able and be wise-hearted. Or not be able, you already are able. Some of us have got specific gifts to give to the body of Christ. God is asking, what are you gifted with? What are you good at? What is the skill in you? Because your gift is not only for yourself and not to be hidden away. Your gift is for the greater good. And God could have built this tabernacle himself, and he could have used a couple of people, very anointed people, and he could have done it. But he said, no, let everyone who's got something to give, let them all give. Because they've got a gift for the greater good of what I want to do. I just want to stop there, and I just want to quickly ask Lorraine, Flo Lawrence, to just come and share a testimony of just talking about volunteerism here. And when he had an experience at Hillsong. And how the Lord used him there as a volunteer, just for a short while.
Just to let everyone know, I'm dressed like this tonight because my wife is beautiful. That's it. Thank you. I had quite a fantastic experience up in Hillsong. I'm guessing about 5-6 years ago, where a friend of mine. We decided in the morning that we wanted to go to this church because we've heard a lot about it and, you know, everyone knows the songs. And we pitched the morning and we were looking for the theater and we couldn't find the theater, you know. And we started asking around. It was like 6 o'clock in the morning, where's this church? Like, and we eventually got there. But when we got to this church, the Hillsong truck was already parked outside. And so we obviously knew that we were way too early. But there was these two guys that was standing next to the truck and asked us, like, are you guys coming to church? And we're like, yes, we're here. And so they gave us these two yellow Visi vests, you know, with a little Hillsong logo on the back, you know. Gave it to us and asked us if we could help unload the truck, which we did. And started carrying everything inside to help to build the stage. And eventually went up to Kids Church, helped packing out all the stuff, the TV and the toys and things. And then this lady came up asking me if I would help with serving the coffee in the foyer. They had these little dispenser things, so you just go around with a cup and just give it to the people and top it up, you know. And that was an amazing experience. And the whole thing about that was I was a first-time visitor that day. And, you know, that's not something that usually happens with a first-time visitor. But the most incredible thing about it was is they were so amped, you know, about their church. And they had such a great expectancy for people that to come into church that when we got involved, it made us feel part of that church immediately. You know, so when we start getting, when we start volunteering in church and when we start getting involved in certain things, immediately you start growing into relationships. You start meeting people. You start getting excited about things. And that's how you get excited, you know, because you're part of it. It's not something that you just come to and you see it all the time and so on, but you become a part of it. And when you become a part of it, it excites you because that's where your passion lies. So I just want to encourage you guys, as Alistair continues with the sermon, think about where your heart is at, you know, and get people to come and volunteer as well. I mean, I just met Daniel now, first-time visitor. How awesome would that be if he would go help Dad out in the kitchen later on with serving coffee, you know? That would be great. Yeah. So, I mean, I just want to encourage you guys, help out, and, yeah, live church, live life, and enjoy it. Yeah.
Thanks very much, Flo. So I want to say this evening that it doesn't matter what your little skill is that you think is maybe not going to be valuable. I want to say everyone has got something to give. Everyone is skilled in some ability. God is not confused. God didn't create you and you're just sort of surviving and you're just taking up oxygen and you're not really meaning anything. But I want to say discover that gift that's in you. Discover what is that gifted artisan that you are. And some of you don't believe it tonight, and I want to say that you are. That you're doubting about right now in your mind, that you're wondering, am I that? Or I'm going to say it, you are. You are that thing that you're not sure about. You are, and go and find it out. And the only way you're going to find it out is by actually presenting your gift for the greater good and not just for yourself. And then thirdly, it carries on. So Moses has spoken to the people now and he's told them, listen, yeah, this is what the Lord has commanded. It's for your good. And your skill is not just for yourself, but use it as the Lord has commanded. And what happened? What was the response here? First of all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. So they went away a little bit and thought about it. And then what happens? Then everyone came whose heart was stirred and everyone whose spirit was willing. And they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service and for the holy garments. This you should read this part in Exodus of how awesome this little tabernacle was. Well, not little, it's probably quite a big tabernacle. But how many things there were to be done in this thing. How they had to build this thing. And how they needed so many skills and so many materials and so many things. It says they came, both men and women. In other words, it doesn't matter whether you're male or female. Whether you're from another culture or another race or who you are. It doesn't matter. It's almost trying to say that everyone was involved. As many, and it says, as many as had a willing heart, brought earrings. I think some of you guys need to offer up nose rings. Some of you need to offer up earrings. It says this. Did you see the word there? It says earrings, nose rings, rings, necklaces. So has anyone here got a nose ring to offer up for the building of the tabernacle? The word says it there. Do you believe it? Okay, as many as had a willing heart, what did they bring? They brought whatever was necessary. Okay. They brought whatever was necessary to build the tabernacle. All jewelry of gold. That is every man who made an offering of gold to the Lord. Then it carries on and it says this is what was needed, and it was like tent pegs and poles and curtains and everything. It's just an amazing building. But you see, it says here, not everyone did it. It was everyone whose spirit was willing and whose heart was stirred. Those were the people. Not just everyone. It says everyone came whose heart was stirred and whose spirit was willing. They were the ones that came to offer up whatever was needed for the tabernacle. So I believe God wants to stir up our spirits as people of Him, who follow Him. He wants to stir up our spirits for what He's doing, what He's busy building through us and in us. And just like Flo testified, I want to say to you guys, if you're visiting us for the first time, don't be shy to volunteer. Don't be shy to be willing. Okay, we are going to be so excited. We understand that there are two types of people. Okay, there's the person who's naturally servant motivated. They will say, yes, this is what I want to do. I'm excited. I'll do it. And they start to just do what they know is best. But then there are other people that they've got so many skills, but we have to sometimes ask people. And I've seen it in church life. I've been around church life for a while now. And I've seen some with volunteers, sometimes you have to go to people. And it's amazing when you find the right person for the right job and you ask them, they are so keen and then they run with it and they do stuff. But other people will come to you and they will volunteer. And it doesn't matter who you are. Maybe you're a shy person. That's why tonight is your night. Because some people serve and they've already volunteered and they're going with stuff. But some of us need just to be asked, because you don't want to sort of rush into the door and bash in and say, I'll do this. You feel a little bit, okay, someone must rather ask me, and that's fine. That's what we're going to do tonight. So whoever's heart is willing and whose spirit is stirred. So someone's spirit needs to be stirred tonight. Some of us are already willing, and we're going to show you exactly where you can volunteer at this church. Because that's what tonight is about. Tonight is about becoming God's volunteer. Are you with me this evening? And then let's look at a second story. David building the temple. We all know the story. The Lord spoke to David, and David experienced the Holy Spirit stirring in his heart that he wants to build God a house. But he says, yeah, I stay in this huge mansion. I'm in this awesome place. And then the presence of God has got no place to dwell. So I want to build a temple for the presence of God. And so he had it in his heart. And then the Lord said to him, David, I'm sorry. It's awesome that you've got this in your heart. But you know what? You're not going to build it physically. Your son Solomon will build the house. But let's look at how David responded. And he got all the guys together and he rose to his feet in 21 Chronicles 28 verse 2, and he said to the people, hear me, my brethren and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made preparations to build it. So first of all, what did David do? He had it in his heart to build God a house. And actually God afterwards said to him, sorry, but you're not going to build it. And you know what? David was fine with that. Now imagine if you have something in your heart, you're so passionate about it, and the Lord says to you, sorry, but you're not going to do this. Most of us will be so offended and we'll just say, okay, God, just I'll do something else. But David wasn't offended. He just realized, okay, he's been a man of war. He's got blood on his hands. It's fine. I'll raise up my son Solomon to do it. So what did David do? He made all the plans. He made sure that Solomon had such a platform to start off with. But you see, before I carry on there, I just want to say that David had it in his heart. It's so important that when we become volunteers, when we become servants of God, it's important that God starts to place some things in our hearts. God wants to place it in our heart to build Him a house. And He's going to stir it. You cannot stir it up yourself. You need to just go to Him and say, Lord, show me what is on your heart. But God will be faithful to do it. If you listen and you're willing and you're ready to be used by God, God will use you. God will stir it in your heart. And we can be like David, a man after God's heart who was so focused on just building God a house. Because God had built him a house and he realized that God needs the presence of God. The Ark of the Covenant needs a place to dwell in. So David, the first thing is, yeah, David had it in his heart to do this. Secondly, in verse 20, it says the following, and David said to his son Solomon, be strong and of good courage and do it. Obviously, he had heard about Nike. Just do it. So he said to Solomon, put on your Nikes and then just do it. But he said, be strong. Do not fear nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, my God, personally, he had a relationship with God. He knew God's character. And he said to him, my God will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. So guess why some of us are scared to volunteer? Some of us are worried we're going to burn out. I want to say this evening, God is faithful to be with you, to finish what he has called you to do. Amen. So don't be afraid to start what God is stirring in your heart. And don't be afraid to jump in to the river, as the song said, and flow with God. Because guess what? David said it yet to his son. I want to say it to all of us this evening. God is faithful to fulfill what he has started in your life. God is so faithful. The God that David knew, we can know to this day. So do you know God's faithfulness? And are you willing to finish that which He started in you. Because some of us start to volunteer and then we get tired or we get, you know, it becomes a burden. And we need to say, God, you have started this. Lord, please finish it. I surrender because I'm doing it in my own strength now. I want to walk in the Spirit. And we know the story. Solomon built the temple. It was awesome. It was amazing. And then the third thing, 1 Chronicles 29, the story carries on. So David now tells Solomon all that's going to happen. He says, I've got all the plans ready. And then he starts to mobilize the people. But before he mobilizes the people, he says the following to all the leaders there. He says, moreover, because I've set my affection on the house of God. In other words, he's an example here. He says, I have got a passion for the house of God. Because I've done this, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver. David says here that, listen here, I've given of my own possessions. It's not just I'm mobilizing a lot of people to give. I've set the example. I have given. I have laid down my life for the house of the God. And I'm not even going to build it. But you know what? I'm excited about my son. I'm excited about the legacy that I've left here. My son is going to build this house. But I have given everything of my possessions to make sure that this house gets built. And you see, the Lord wants us to, first of all, the way we're going to have a passion for it is to start to get involved and to give of ourselves, you see. To give of ourselves to the building of the house of the Lord. David understood. He was stirred in his heart and then he just went into practice. And many of us have intentions. David understood this. It doesn't help to be intentional. We have to physically give something. That shows our faith. You know, faith without works is dead. If we don't put works to our faith, if we don't give something or do something, according to God's will, obviously, not in presumption, then we don't understand God's faithfulness and God's ability to use us. So he set an example here by giving of his own possessions. And then he started to mobilize the leaders. And then he asked them the following question in verse 5. He said, who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? You see, David understood he can give over and above. He can actually ask people, listen, yeah, it's time to respond because I'm giving you the choice. You don't have to. But who is willing? Once again, it's all about willingness. Who is willing to give and to consecrate himself, first of all, to the Lord? My second last scripture for the evening, before we're going to pray, because I believe the Lord also wants to just touch our hearts tonight. It's not just about practically going out and serving. I really believe he wants to speak to us this evening. But yeah, in verse 9 of 1 Chronicles 29, this is what happened. David now, he asks each one, who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? And what happens if you read the rest of the scripture there, it says the leaders, specifically the leaders, over hundreds and thousands and all the leaders, they just started to give up of their possessions. They started to give silver and gold and everything that was needed. And it said, whatever was needed, people gave. Now, I don't know if it was the leaders or other people, but it just says the following in verse 9. It says, then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart, they had offered willingly to the Lord. That word willingly seems to come up quite often here. And King David also rejoiced greatly. You see, it's so awesome to see the joy that happened when these people offered willingly, when they offered with a loyal heart. What happened here? There was a dying to self and to selfishness. There was a dying to just the self and serving me, myself, and I. This is what happened when they offered. They understood. And it's the same. That's why we ask for money. We don't ask for money. We actually give you an opportunity to give in church. It's not like God needs our money. But it's an opportunity for all of us to just start to die to self and realize my money is not my own. Everything. It's not just 10% belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. And same with my possessions, same with my talents. Everything belongs to God. But when we offer it up willingly for His service, what does He do? He actually multiplies it. He multiplies that gift. Have you ever given something and you've just experienced blessing? Like you just seem to have more money. You just seem to be able to give more and more. Has anyone experienced that? Try to start to give in faith. Say, Lord, you know, and God says, test me on this. If I'll not pour out the storehouses of heaven upon you if you just start to give faithfully. And then in Malachi, it just talks about a 10%. What happens if we start giving 20%? If we start giving 50% of our income? And if we start giving 50% of our time to where God needs it and not where we want to? Not where we want to be, but God, where do you want to use me? And you will find a joy in serving. You will find a joy in dying to yourself. And I really want to say to you, this is not something that comes naturally. We have to say, God, give me a heart for it. And when you start to do it, it starts to come supernaturally when you lock into the Spirit. You're not doing it out of the flesh. You're doing it out of the Spirit because you realize God is leading you. And David understood God's faithfulness. And the people started to catch his heart. And then there was such great rejoicing because why then they could see this tabernacle, this temple was going to be built. It wasn't built yet, but in faith they started to rejoice because they saw there was more than enough. And in both Moses' case, in both the case of Moses building the tabernacle and in the case of David building the temple, read the Bible, it says that there was more than enough. They had too much for the plans that they made. So I believe if God, if we all give willingly of our time and our talents and our gifts, God will, there will be so much more than can be used. But then God will start to multiply and He will start to build the church and there will be more ministries and there will be more things happening. And guess what? There will be more people coming. If we reach out, and these ministries are just mainly focused on the church. If you look at these ministries, it's all pretty much just the church service. But God wants to start here with the church service. And when this starts to happen, guess what? The hospital ministry will start to flourish. Then there will be creative stuff happening. We'll be able to organize events where we can invite people and there'll always be a nice vibe around the event and we'll invite people and then we'll start to do other ministries and start to reach out and start to whatever God wants to do. But this is just the start. This is not like the ultimate because God doesn't want us to stay in the church. But unfortunately, most of these ministries are in the church just because we want to make the church excellent. We want to make the church services work even better than they are. And then out of that will flow, people will start to come. And guess what? Then they will be used and they will have a passion for certain things and ministries will grow. And so the church will grow. It's like a multiplication effect. But the core of it is when there's the joy of dying to self and dying to selfishness. And if you read the word, it says that when Solomon finished the temple and also when Moses, when he finished building the temple with everything that was offered, the glory of the Lord manifested. The priests couldn't even go in. Because the glory of the Lord was upon the house of God. So I believe there's going to be a glory on our lives. Because guess what? The church is not, as I said, it's not this building. There will be a glory on the services here. But it's not like God will stay here and we all have to come here every day to experience His glory. No, there'll be a glory. Why? Because we are willingly offering ourselves to God. There'll be a glory on our lives. There'll be a glory on your small group. There'll be a glory on just wherever we move as people of God. Because we have understood the joy of dying to selfishness. God wants to pour out His glory. And listen to this last scripture. While the band comes up this evening. This very same David who built or had the plans to build the temple and allowed his son Solomon to do it. He wrote the following psalm. He wrote this verse in Psalm 110 verse 3. He said, "Your people," talking about God's people, "shall be volunteers in the day of your power." The Amplified Version says, "Your people will offer themselves willingly in the day of your power." I really believe that this year God wants to manifest His glory and His power in a way that we haven't seen. But if we're going to be ready for it, we need to say, "Lord, it's not about us." There's a joy when we die to self and when we see others flourish in the courts of God. And it's not about us, it's about God touching His people. And we get excited when it's not just we the center of it. We can minister healing and deliverance and salvation to others because God's glory is upon us. Your people will offer themselves willingly. And I believe it's so awesome when we understand what God wants to do through our lives. But He also wants to do it in our lives, even tonight. He wants to start. So it's not about us doing stuff and just volunteering because we feel bad. That I really want you to be honest now. And don't volunteer if you feel you're not at the right place yet. But if you're really being stirred and you're offering yourselves willingly, do it. Start to grow. And don't stick. Don't feel like you have to stick to one thing. Try other ministries. But get involved somewhere. And start with relationship in a small group. Start by at least just coming to a small group and saying, "I want to get involved with relationship." Because ultimately it's all about God's relationship with one another. He wants us to know one another through Him. And see the Christ in others, the hope of glory in someone else, where you see the Jesus and you just see the Holy Spirit in someone else, and it's exciting because there's a resonation of your spirit. You know, this guy's got the same thing as me. This girl is on fire for the Lord. And it encourages you to just keep going. We cannot do this by ourselves, but I'm excited for what God is doing. And I want to also say this evening, thank you to everyone who's giving of their tithes and offerings. I want to say thank you to those guys who have set up this area at the back. I think it looks awesome. Wouldn't you agree? The coffee machine, this is all donations, people. This is people who understand the heart of David, where I've given of myself. It's not out of the church's finances. This whole area at the back is all donations. It's all people who've understood this thing about there's such a greater cause at stake here. And so I love it because I can see there's signs of it happening. And God wants to just multiply this in all of our lives. And I really want to thank you guys that are serving. I just love it. When I came here this afternoon, that vibe at the back there was just incredible. I just thought, oh, I'm going to have to tell these people exactly what to do. I just felt this vision. I felt tonight was something God showed me. He said, we must have a volunteer Sunday. We must just get people excited about what is happening at church. Because many people come to church and they don't see exactly what's happening. But tonight I trust that you have seen what's happening in our church and what God is doing. And He's just taking all the glory for it. It's not anything we do. It's all God's glory and it's all His power that's doing it. Through willing and available and people who have decided to die to self. But today, tonight I believe, and while all eyes are closed here tonight, I really believe God wants to minister to people in the area of your temple, your body, your being, you as a person. Because I don't want us to go out of here tonight and we're just excited about serving. Because guess what? God is more excited about you being whole in your being. And I believe tonight God showed me that there's some broken people. You are broken in just who you are. You need healing. You need deliverance. Maybe you need to be saved tonight. Maybe you need to come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Because that is the only way you're going to be made whole. That's what Paul wrote and Peter wrote about living stones. It's like God building you up as a living stone. And I believe there's some stones here that are dead. You can serve until you're blue, but until Jesus makes you alive, until the Holy Spirit comes to anoint you with a power beyond yourself, you will continue to be a dead stone. And you can serve and you can do it out of flesh and you'll get tired and you'll hate serving until you're being renewed and being changed by Jesus Himself. So I believe as all eyes are closed this evening, I want you to be honest with where you're at with the Lord. Because I really believe there are people that are broken here tonight. And you need to be honest. You need to just come to Jesus to make you whole again. Because you're broken in relationships. You've been broken by people. You've been hurt by church. And even tonight when we talk about serving, it's, oh, the church wants my money. And the church wants my energy and my effort and time. And you've been broken by that. And God wants to make you whole tonight. He's so in love with you. He's so excited about your life. More than you would know. And so God, I thank you that you're ministering right now to your people, Lord. I thank you that you want to make us whole. Before we become volunteers, Lord, you want to make sure that we are built up, Lord. And we'll never be perfect, God. One day we'll be perfect when we see Jesus. But for now, Lord, you want to start a process of healing in our lives and restoration and just, Lord, such a power that we've never known before. And you want that power to be evident in our lives personally, Lord. Maybe there's people here that are physically sick. God wants you to be honest that His power can manifest through that. But He's going to only do it when you say, here I am, Lord. I'm willing to allow you to change me. I'm willing to allow you to heal me. You need to be willing to admit it. You need to be honest. So if you're broken maybe in the area of you're physically, your body's broken yet tonight, I believe God wants to heal you. If you're broken in the area of relationships, if you've been hurt by people, you've been hurt by, there's someone here that your boss is just such a nasty person to you and you're taking offense by your boss at work, then I just believe God wants to heal you because that offense is just coming from the past. Your dad, there was a teacher that hurt you. And when your boss now, he says something to you, you just feel the same anger and frustration against authority in your life. But you've been hurt and the Lord Jesus Christ wants to heal you completely tonight. He wants to heal you in your brokenness. But once again, it's the same as volunteering. You need to recognize that and be honest and just say, Lord, here I am, here's my life. So if that's you this evening, I want you just to raise your hand. If you need a touch from the Lord this evening, if you need, your temple needs to be made whole again so that you can serve, so that you can be a blessing, then I want you to be honest. God is going to do it tonight. I really believe it. Is there anyone like that? Just be honest. Just raise your hand if you need God to just come and heal your temple, your body, the living stone that you are. He wants to make you alive. Just be honest. There's an opportunity now. Don't let this opportunity go by. Just raise your hand. As the Spirit is stirring on your hearts. I'm just going to allow the Holy Spirit to move. Because if you're experiencing a bit of a stirring now, the Lord is speaking to you, and don't delay. Because I believe even the scripture that says, my people will be volunteers, I believe it's like that's why we ask people to put up their hands. Because it's like, yeah, Lord, I need it. You need to be honest and say, Lord, I need you to touch. And after that, you're going to continue to say, Lord, I'm a volunteer, I'm willing. I'm ready to be used by you. But first, I want to be changed by you, Lord. So be honest this evening. Let's all just stand as the Lord continues to minister to us. Just close your eyes. Don't look around right now. But if you seriously need to really respond to the Lord, if you've put up your hand, and maybe you haven't even put up your hand this evening, I believe it's your night tonight. God wants to come and touch you. So I want facilitators just to come forward. Because we're going to trust the Lord to really break the brokenness over your life. So if you need prayer, just be honest. Come forward. While the facilitators are coming forward, just respond to God's call on your life. He's not wanting to heal you to actually shame you or to make you feel weird. He wants to heal you to that you can become a huge blessing to many people around you. Just be honest. Just come forward. If you put up your hand, those who raise their hands, just be honest this evening. Don't delay. Just come. God wants to touch you right here. Many people have come forward, so just respond. The Lord speaking to you. God, I thank you for all these people that have responded to you this evening, God. Thank you for healing in broken vessels here this evening. I thank you that temples, living stones will be restored to their full value, Lord, in Jesus' name. Speak it over every life here. Just surrender your life to the Lord. If you know that you've been broken, just say, Lord, I cannot heal myself. I cannot fix myself. I know that you can. I believe in you tonight. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm going to dismiss the service, but if you really need ministry and you're shy to come forward, then I want you just to come afterwards. The facilitators are more than willing to pray with you. But I'm going to bless you this evening, and I want you to go and have some nice cup of coffee at the back here, fellowship, and really join a small group. If you want to get to know us better, that's the best way, is actually to get a fellowship group where you can start relationships with people in church. Amen. So the Lord, I pray that you'd bless your people tonight. I pray that you would pour out your favor in this week, in their studies, Lord, in everything that they're doing. Lord, that your favor and the power of the Spirit would just be manifest through everything that they do, Lord, your people. And I pray, God, for divine appointments this week. I thank you that this word would not remain here, Lord. But I pray that, Lord, the joy of just serving you and the joy of living a life consecrated to you would spread to workplaces, would spread into the classrooms that are represented here, would spread to, Lord, this university and even this area, God, people who live here in Brandwach. I pray that in the Spirit, the flavor of Jesus would go out of this place, Lord, like never before. In Jesus' name.